Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two of our Fantasy Sports program, Fantasy Sports Today, right here on a Saturday morning, getting you ready for week number four of the NFL season. We're going game by game. Quick recap here. Jared Goff, the runaway winner in our first poll. I do think Jared Goff versus the field is a better question, maybe, Dan. Good job by me. But nonetheless, it was Goff, then Mahomes, Breeze, Philip Rivers coming in last here at 11%. I do think he has some major upside this week, so that'll be fun from a DFS perspective. We'll have a new poll out momentarily, and George, get your take here at the top of it. Over on one site I was looking at, I saw a prop bet for receptions for Michael Thomas this week. 9.5 against the New York Giants. Are you taking the over or the under on 9.5 receptions for Michael Thomas?
That's a truckload of receptions. I'll take the under.
It
there.
Is. Yeah. It was a number I thought was reasonable because of results to date, but felt a little high when it came to actual week-over-week possibilities. So I do think the under should be heavily considered there. I saw it on one site, haven't seen it on multiple sites from a prop bet perspective, but I do think it's an intriguing one to at least consider because he has been hella efficient and has been getting a ton of targets. So I think that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on as we go through this second hour. We'll get to the Giants, Saints in the 4 o'clock games, and we can talk a bit more about that one there. Jacksonville Jaguars, New York Jets. What do you got here? Is it a Bortles week for you? This is a game I'll watch. Obviously, I'm a Jets fan, so unfortunately I have to. Well, I don't have to. I choose to. But it's not one that really intrigues me from a high-end fantasy perspective. Do you have anyone here?
I mean, I think it's going to be a Bilal Powell week for the Jets. A lot of short passes out of the backfield. I guess they'll try and move the ball. Not that Jacksonville doesn't know this as well. But I think you said earlier, I mean, if Jalen Ramsey's on Quincy and Noon, well, good luck, Q. I don't know how much that's going to work. And Q has been Darnold's best friend forever, right? I mean, every pass seems to go his direction. Robbie Anderson has not been a big part of this offense in the early going here. So Powell, as far as debating between the two Jets running backs, Powell or Crowell this week. As for Jacksonville, it's going to be a Bortles week. Ugh, not that I'm starting. I'm not taking that chance. I mean, Jets are a decent defense. I mean, this is not a pushover defense, so I think I don't know if there's anybody on Jacksonville I love. You got the same problem with Fournette we have with so many of these returning running backs. You're almost certainly forced to start him if he's playing. And that could be a problem because we don't know if he'll make it through the game, how healthy he actually is. Not a great matchup anyway. But as I said, I mean, if you have better guys, if you have two, three better running backs in your roster than Fournette, God bless. Yeah, because I don't in any leagues. I just don't. I don't have a choice. Got to start him. You know, he's listed as questionable, so we're not going to know until 11:30, but I expect him to play. But then again, I thought he might play last week, too, when he didn't. So it's an issue there, but I think you're forced to start him. That's the bottom line for me. And that may be the only guy on Jacksonville I feel like I have to start. You know, I do like Keelan Cole, the best out of the wide receivers, but I don't love this matchup, and I don't love Bortles this week either. Safarian Jenkins could be in play once again if you have one of those tight ends we talked about earlier. Jordan Reed's out on bye as well. You know, Greg Olsen, Delonte Walker, Evan Engram, everybody's hurt. Tight end has been a beat-up position in the early going.
Yep. You made mention of Evan Engram, which will be a point I make in the Giants-Saints game later on about somebody I'm targeting there. But I'm with you on Jacksonville's wide receivers. I don't see it as a necessity to play a Cole. You could have a random Moncrief week. There's just enough here that the Jets defense will play well enough. They keep talking, though, and it's a concern as a fan and a concern as a fantasy analyst that they keep saying they're not prepared for the quarterbacks. Like, they keep saying they're not, oh, we didn't have enough film, or, oh, we didn't, you know, we weren't prepared enough for Baker Mayfield, or we weren't prepared enough for XYZ, except for the first week where they tore apart Matt Stafford. So I'm hoping that changes this week, that they have enough film on Blake Bortles and they've prepared there. But I'm with you that there's not much from this one. I do think Bilal Powell is a good call. From a betting perspective, -7.5 for Jacksonville, an over-under of 38.5. Those are numbers I'm staying away from. This just isn't a game that I'm into. I think the Jets keep it closer than 7.5. But I'm not overly confident in this offense getting it done. So it's really going to be a necessity to have this defense step up and keep it a low-scoring game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's continue on. No reason to belabor that game. Detroit and Dallas move from my favorite team, George, to your favorite team. Matt Stafford on the road here. We've seen talk of more throwing this week from the Dallas Cowboys. I've seen a couple of articles written that they're going to open it up, quote unquote. Don't know if they're able to open it up with their wide receiving core, but what's your take here? Do you think Dak gets on track and we see a big game against this Detroit defense, or is this more of the same from the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, you're right. They're talking a lot of shit, right? They're going to open it up. The offense is going to be different. But I agree with you. Okay, you can talk it all you like. Who's catching the ball? All right, I mean, did they get new receivers this week? Because I don't believe they got new receivers. Even though according to the film, and I've seen some of the film, the receivers are open. Dak's not getting on the ball. You know, he's not looking. Dallas doesn't look to throw the ball deep. We saw that even when Tony Romo was there, people forget. You know, fans are complaining about the same thing. Dallas didn't throw the ball into the secondary. It wasn't part of their game plan. It's not what Jason Garrett wants to do. It's almost like he's afraid of turnovers. He wants to play close games, win the game with the offensive line and the running game. The problem is the offensive line is not as good as, and really, it's not anywhere near as good as we thought it was going to be. So they can't control the ball at the running game. The defense has played fine. Yes, they had a couple of breakdowns last week, but that's still a game that really was well within reach. A couple of turnovers turned the tide there. So I don't know how different things are going to be next week. You know, really. Are you thinking about starting anyone in this game other than Ezekiel Elliott on Dallas? You're not starting Dak. You're not starting anybody else I can possibly name on this offense. It's Elliott, and that's it. And I honestly don't think that's going to change for most of the season.
I'm right there with you. Unless there is the monumental matchup, but I don't even see it there. I don't see in their schedule a week where I say absolutely have to get these skill receivers for Dallas into the lineup, and Dak, I don't see the upside right now. Offensive line not playing well. I just don't see it on the other side of the ball. Golden Tate, right, was added to the injury report on Friday, you said, and I remember reading that. That's a concern here. Does that put you on Marvin Jones? Does that keep you away from this offense altogether? What do you got here from a Detroit perspective?
Well, once again, Tate is the Randall Cobb. He's a slot receiver. So it really doesn't change things much other than, you know, if Tate's out, okay, Stafford may not look at the new slot guy. Now he's looking more for Galladay, but looking more for Marvin Jones. Dallas' secondary is the weakest part of the defense. This is the reason why they want Earl Thomas, is because they have their weaknesses there. The safeties can be beat. Now, we don't know how severe this Tate thing, this Tate injury is or isn't. You know, but to be added late to the, to the injury report, which on Friday, on Saturday, it's always a concern. It's a hip. Yeah, you know, he was a limited participant, which means he did participate. You know, how much we really don't know here. It's concerning to me, but I think Tate's going to play, so it's not overly concerning. But Jones is in my lineup anyway. Galladay is certainly in my lineup. Matter if you have Galladay and Jones on your team, I'd rather have Galladay's really the every-week starter for me. Jones is still a play, but I'd rather have Galladay over him. On most weeks, I'm going to rank them Tate, Galladay, Jones.
Yep, I love watching Kenny Galladay play. J.J. Zacharyson over there at Number Fire, I think was the first I saw to call him Babytron. Obviously, after the former wide receiver there in Detroit, Megatron, you have Babytron there, and I think it's a great nickname. I'm not sure if he'll like it as his career goes on, but hell, it is fit well. He has looked great and is really becoming a key part of that offense, so I like that call a lot. And we'll probably see if he's worthwhile from a DFS perspective as I do some more lineup construction later today. Have four lineups constructed on DraftKings, one on FanDuel as of right now. May dip the toe a little deeper into some lineup construction later on today as the middle child's birthday party. So if I have to sit there If it's not a drop-off party, George, I get to sit there with my cell phone and ignore everybody and build lineups. I have to figure that out, though. So we'll see. We will see if that if the gods are in my favor in that regard later on this afternoon. We go next to our last 1 p.m. game, Houston and Indianapolis, the Colts and the Texans. Houston off to a miserable start at 0-3. Colts, you may mention before, agree completely. Andrew Luck's arm strength has to be in question at this present moment. A game I really, from a just a simple fan perspective, don't really want to watch. I feel like this may be an ugly contest. Anybody stand out here? DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, somebody we have to talk about each and every week. Will Fuller probably in the same breath, at least under consideration. But what do you got here between the Texans and the Colts?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I watched a lot of that Giant-Texans game last week. And really didn't realize as the game was going on that Deshaun Watson ended up with 421 total yards offense. It was 385 through the air and the rest on the ground there. So he had over 400 yards of offense. And it didn't seem like that during the game because it looked crisp. You know, for 385 yards, you expect a crisp game. It wasn't there. Bottom line is this. The Indianapolis defense has played better than I expected so far this season. Good for them. Obviously, you're always starting Watkins, who's also banged up, by the way, but I once again expect to play. If Will Fuller plays, which he should very well, I'm starting him. I like Will Fuller. I liked him from the beginning of the year. I think he's going to have a nice season. It comes down to the theory that everybody in their mo is worried about Hopkins. Everyone on defense is worried about Hopkins. Fuller, once again, one-on-one coverage, never going to see a top cornerback, not going to see safeties over the top all that much. Will Fuller's in my lineup. Not every pass can go Hopkins' way. I'm not a big believer in Lamar Miller, but I imagine you don't have a choice here but to start him. I think Indianapolis is really where it's more interesting. You know, we all saw it last week. When it came time for the Hail Mary, which wasn't a long Hail Mary, it was a normal Hail Mary, it wasn't Luck who was throwing the ball. You know, he's still not throwing the ball into the secondary. The arm strength is certainly not there. You know, and not what it should be for an NFL quarterback. Right now, he looks more like what we think Alex Smith is. You know, dink and dunk, where he can't really get the ball deep. You know, and it's a problem. The other problem is for Indianapolis, they don't have too many weapons there. It really is T.Y. Hilton, that's it. Jack Doyle's out this week. Eric Ebron could certainly be a play here. So am I worried about Luck? Yeah, I think it'd be silly to say I'm not. You have to be worried about Luck. Maybe that arm strength builds up, but it's been a long time now. And it's still not there. It has to be concerning. And if you watch some of the, I think it was some of the game days, they showed other throws that are not long throws that Luck doesn't have the fastball. You know, the ball is taking a second or two longer than it normally would to get to where it has to go. So I think I'm certainly concerned about Luck of the arm strength. It's not there yet. Maybe it's not there this season. Maybe it's never coming back. So to say I'm not concerned would be wrong. That's why, you know, with the Daltons of the world, the Roethlisbergers, I don't know if I could do Trubisky, but I could probably really think about it. I would start these guys over Luck until I see something from him. I see it's not. I'm not blaming it all on the arm strength. Dan, I'm not. A lot of it, or at least part of it, is also the weapons around him. He doesn't have a lot. But right now, I'm concerned about Luck.
Yep, I think that is more than reasonable, and I think you make the great point that we don't know the long-term prognosis for arm strength. We just don't. And the way this injury happened and how long it took for him to come back, there has to be long-term concern. I think there always has been. We saw some good passes in the preseason. I think people may have gotten a bit out over their skis for it, thinking he's just going to go back to who he was. It's just not sometimes physically possible. You see it in pitchers in Major League Baseball. Now, obviously, Tommy John has sort of changed that where a lot of them come back. But we're talking shoulder stuff, not elbow stuff, shoulder stuff. You really see problems over a career and building back up that arm strength and obviously getting hit each time. It's not like Matt Harvey's getting hit on the mound. He's getting hit a lot by batters, but he's not getting, leveled each time he throws the ball. That's what's happening to Luck. He's getting hit and hit again, and that shoulder, I don't think he's strong enough right now. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing that we can be sure of as we go through. But let's move on to these 4 o'clock games. I was talking to a good friend, Dave Lochran, about DFS this weekend and said that there are a few builds for me that have me strictly on these 4 o'clock games on the main slates on FanDuel and DraftKings, where the San Francisco LA Chargers game, the New Orleans New York game, give me pretty much a decent amount of the weapons I want to use in these lineups. We're going to start with Cleveland Oakland. And George, this is a popular discussion among some DFS analysts that Cleveland is the stack this week, that you get on Baker Mayfield early at a lower price point. You got Jarvis Landry Njoku is in there, and you have maybe some backfield upside with someone like Duke Johnson from a receiving perspective, and you stack him and you go here against this Oakland Raiders defense that has shown some major holes in it. What do you got here? Is this a Baker Mayfield week, or do you need to see it for one or two more weeks to trust that he's going to be the real deal here in his rookie season?
I'd have a tough time trusting Baker Mayfield here. I mean, I get what Jamal Adams was talking about with for the Jets when he said the Jets weren't prepared for Mayfield. What he really meant by that was they prepared for Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod, whatever his first name is now. Okay, and he's a completely different kind of quarterback. They prepared for a running quarterback, not for your traditional. I mean, not that Mayfield can't run, he can, but he's more of your traditional drop back, throw the ball, and throw it hard type of quarterback. The Raiders now will know who's starting there, so the defense will be better. They'll prepare better. They'll know what they're getting here. The bank on Mayfield this week, first start, on the road in Oakland. That doesn't sound like a recipe for success here. I don't mind it being having a contrarian lineup and saying, hey, see what happens here at Stack Cleveland, but I don't know what's going to be my main lineup. You know, sure. I don't think it'll be my main lineup at all. It just doesn't sound like a recipe for success. I mean, it won't be as easy as what it was against the Jets. The Jets they admitted they weren't prepared. Not that I think that's Todd Bowles' fault. I don't. You prepare for the starting quarterback. You don't really spend that much time on the backup. But Oakland will prepare. You know, granted, their defense is very good, but they will prepare. So while I think the Oakland defense is bad, if this was in Cleveland, I might feel a little bit better about it. But it's his first start in Oakland, black hole, all that stuff. No, I'm not going to be able to just say, hey, let's go, you know, go balls to the wall here and start every Cleveland player. No, I'm not going to do it.
Where do you get an analysis like that? Right here on Fantasy Sports Today. And I'm with you. I think it is a contrarian play. It's a GPP lineup where you're looking for that gigantic upside potentially from Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry stacking the two. And as I said, Hyde or Duke Johnson in the backfield could have some upside, but I don't think it's in any way a safe lineup or a cash game lineup. We'll talk more about this game as we come back on the other side of this break. We'll also take your calls. We want to hear from you guys here on Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure that we do talk to you throughout the episode. It is 844-843-6879. The phone lines will be open after this break. And as always, find us on Twitter at Fantasy Radio, FNTSY Radio. So we'll be back after this right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Straffer, George Kurtz with more after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
VIP.
So George, if I told you this was my karaoke song, would that shock you?
Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby. Oh, boy. Maybe it would disappoint me.
This and Young MC Bust a Move, along with a little Kenny Rogers, The Gambler, or Friends in Low Places, because I can't really sing. That's where I go each time there's karaoke involved. But you don't want to hear it. You don't.
Just want to chime in for one second song. And say that Ice Ice Baby is also one of my dad's go-to karaoke songs as well.
Now I have to stop doing it, Sean. Oh, come on. No, I kid because I love Scott. I need that on video. Just so you know, I need to see that. I will pay a handsome sum for that at future family parties or outings of FNTSY. I would love
someone
to
give that to Cardano.
in a past life, I used to co-host with Joe, and we would do bets on week by week DFS lineups, and whoever lost would have to sing on air. There's periscopes out there of me singing some pretty bad songs. So I will share those at a later date. I'm sure Joe, if listening, can share as well. But it's pretty bad. It's really, really bad. Don't forget, BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY. Head over to BetDSI today. Let's continue on here, and we have a caller as we do open up the phone lines here in hour number two. It's 844-843-6879. We go to Tim from North Carolina. Tim, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, yeah, I had a question about my lineup. I need to start two of these guys in a half-point PPR. I got Lamar Miller, Manny Sanders, Tyler Boyd, and Calvin Ridley.
George, what do you got?
All right, half-point PPR, Miller, Sanders, Boyd, and Ridley. Sanders is a definite here. All right, we set the high-scoring game Monday night, so I'm definitely putting Emmanuel Sanders in my lineup. Boyd Ridley. Same game here. There's some risk involved. I think it really comes down to how much risk you want to take here, because there's risk with both players here. Lamar Miller was a safer play. There's not much upside right there. You needed to get to the end zone there. He caught one last week. Yay. I think I'm going to be more than the roll of a dice here. I'll go with the player at home. I'll go with Ridley over Boyd, but I do like both.
Okay, great. Great. I like that, guys. Thanks a lot, and I love your show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. As always, Tim, I'm with you there, George. Miller might be a sit for me. Now, obviously, we talk about it every time that depending on who else you have on your roster, we can't give blind sort of roster construction tips when we don't know who else you have to go in there. If your next best running back is Jonathan Stewart, then clearly you're making a move to keep Lamar Miller in your lineup. But I think this is just a bad Texans team, and I don't know that Miller has the upside you need. I like the Ridley Boyd over Miller, and I like the call of the guy at home here in that matchup. Let's talk about our next game up. Continuing on with Seattle. Well, I guess any Oakland pieces here? I don't think we touched on the Raiders. Is it finally Amari Cooper time? Do you trust these Raiders under John Gruden at all, or are you moving on to the next contest?
Trust? I think trust is too strong of a word here. If you're going with the every other week theory, then it's Amari Cooper time, right? I had a good week too, the even odd week, even week theory. Listen, Cooper, he's not a must start. I mean, he's not. It comes down to what else you have on your roster. Right now in one league, for instance, I have Cooper, Hogan. I think I have Alshon Jeffrey in that league too. He's obviously a no. Hogan, Cooper is what it's coming down for me. Yeah, this might be the last week that Hogan's somewhat relevant before Julian Edelman comes back next week and Gordon gets further up to speed here. But I'm still going with Cooper over Hogan right now. Maybe I'll change my mind, but that's the way I have it. Cooper just has more talent. I know Jordy Nelson had the big game last week. That's more of an outlier to me than anything else. I don't see that happening again. Jared Cook's in play, because I think, once again, all those tight ends that are hurt, he's a tight end one this week. And Marshawn Lynch is a start. If you can sit Marshawn Lynch, God bless, you have a good running back core.
Yeah, I went Marshawn Lynch a bunch of places in best ball this summer just because I thought the value was there and he was going to have upside games, and I think this is definitely one of them. Oakland is -3 here with an over-under of 45. I'm struggling with those two numbers. I don't know that this is a game I'll pay much attention to from a betting perspective. Do you like that close a line just because Oakland's been so bad? Do you think Cleveland should just be +3? Or do you feel like this is maybe a little bit of a misline just because of how bad Oakland's been thus far?
I mean, it's tough to trust either one of these teams.
That's fair.
It's certainly tough to trust Oakland. I mean, we don't know what we're going to get here. I'm taking the Browns. I'll take the points in the Browns. I think they're an up-and-coming team. It does worry me. Like I said, first game, black hole, first start for Mayfield. How many games? Oakland's going to win some games this year. They're not going to go 0-16.
That'd be amazing if they did.
I wouldn't mind you, but I think this could be a game they certainly could win, but I'll take Cleveland and the points here. I'll take my points with the Browns, but I am worried somewhat. The over-under 45, that seems a little high for here. I think I'd prefer the under there.
Yep, I think I'm with you there. I think the game shakes out Cleveland plus three plus the under for me. But again, not overly confident in any of those moves. Let's go back to the phones and a good friend of the show, Kenny from Philadelphia. You're on with George and Dan. How you doing this morning, Kenny?
Danny, Georgie, good morning, y'all. How y'all doing, man?
Doing well.
Hey, Danny, that was a good, yeah, Georgie. Danny, that was a good good result there. You guys said y'all played DraftKings or whatever. I mean, a loser has to come on and sing karaoke. That's awesome.
Yeah, we did. It was every week. It was bad, Kenny. It was really bad. My brother Kenny is a musical theater guy. Like, he's a singer. I can't carry a tune, man. Like, I need like a guitar to carry a tune. And I mean, just playing it. So it's bad. I'll share some. It's bad.
Well, that was set up for you to fail, then, buddy. You guys,
definitely.
Y'all first segment. Y'all were talking about when to drop and when to trade, guys. I got to emphatically disagree with you, George. You said you start trading as soon as the draft's over. I mean, give it a chance to play out. I would say that this week, if the guys ain't doing nothing, I'm a quarter of the season, well, a third of the season, I'm including this week, I'll be going now. If the guy's not doing nothing, you got to make a move. You got to start this week. I'm a fan of giving time or whatever to the players that you drafted or whatever. I got one more thing to say. What do you guys think about that?
George?
I don't have a problem with it if you want to wait. But, hey, if someone likes one of my players and I sniped one of their players and they want to offer me a player that I like more, I have no problem. I'll deal the minute after the draft is over. Now, that being said, saying I will and actually doing it are two different things. I find in most leagues, Kenny, that I can't make deals. In my home leagues, no one will deal with me in my home leagues. It's literally impossible. Everyone's afraid that I know something they don't know, which, yeah, I probably might. But some of these trades I'm making is because, listen, I need to make a deal here. I made a deal this week. I traded George Kittle. Because I had an extra tight end, Kittle, and I was able to trade him. And it's a two quarterback league, and Cam Newton's on bye. I was able to get Trubisky. I was thrilled to make that deal. But that's one of those deals where he needed somebody, I needed somebody. He actually came to me. But other than that, I can talk about making deals all I want. I love to talk deals. I'll send out offers all the time. But 90% of them, 95, are shot down. And somebody, I don't even get counter offers. For the love of God, make a counter offer.
I'm on a daily whatever. One guy, well, I'm going to have two guys in most of my lineups this weekend. One of them is Zeke Elliott, and the other one is Julio Jones. I think he's going to go forgotten, especially with the rookie that had the three touchdowns. I think he's going to go forgotten in this game. I love that Bengals and Falcons stack here. I mean, it's kind of bad me being a Saints fan, but, you know, playing fantasy sports, you got to throw all that crap out the window here.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So I'm loving that. I know everybody's going to be on the Saints and the Giants game. I'll probably have a little bit of that. I love guys like Allen Robinson this week. What do you guys think about Doug Baldwin? You guys going to throw him in the eight?
You know, that whole offense for me, I can't get behind it as of yet. And his knee, there are too many red flags. Now, listen, if you're talking daily fantasy, there are always arguments about ownership. There are always arguments about upside and ownership being low and getting a guy in there who has the talent, has profile to put up, 100-yard, two-score sort of game. I just don't see it in the cards right now for...
What about the Cardinals running back?
David John. 60, so somebody...
6,700, man. 6,700, man. Come on.
I want to get to that. We'll talk briefly here, but I do want to get in depth with George on David Johnson when we talk that game.
I appreciate y'all giving me the time, man. I'll be listening, guys.
Kenny, we love you. Glad to have you on each week. Appreciate it. And I'll share one of those videos later. I'll subject myself to the ridicule of my singing that's still available over there on Periscope from a previous show with Joe and I here on FNTSY, I think is the one I'll share. But George, I do find... that David Johnson question, very intriguing this week. You made mention of you're not trading him, and I get it, like the talent's there. But it just seems like it's a mess. And you get Rosen now, maybe that changes some things, but that offensive line's not good. The coaching staff has said they need to get him more involved, but still doesn't seem to understand how to. Do you take the discount on him this week in DFS? Do you roll him out there and hope for the gigantic upside? What's your overall take on David Johnson?
Oh, I think the Cardinals will be looking to get him more involved. Right? You're going to want to protect Josh Rosen somewhat. Make sure you have a running game there. The problem is, if I'm Seattle, You know you're playing a rookie quarterback. You know the same thing. They're going to want to get Johnson. Aren't you selling out to stop Johnson? Just like teams do with Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas, right? Same thing. And force the passing game to do something to make that beat you, not the number one player here. I expect Pete Carroll to do that. That being said, I don't know if I can pass up on that price. If I'm only playing one lineup, no, then I won't have David Johnson in it because I don't see really big things happening here. But since I'll play upwards of 8, 9, 10, he'll be in a few of them, yeah, because the price is too good. Even though my head tells me not much going to happen. For once again, it's the first start. Rosen, Seattle knows this. Granted, they're not a great team. They did give up 130 yards to Ezekiel Elliott last week when they knew Dallas was going to do nothing but run the ball. So maybe it happens again here. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But to really say I'm going to bank on him, no, he won't be in my main lineup. That's where I'm going with this. But he will be in some of them, yes, because the price is just too good.
Yeah, I think that's the right. Again, I made mention of Baldwin. There are tournament lines for their cash game lineups. If you're building cash game lineups, I don't know that you trust David Johnson when you do have other running backs and flex position players that you can trust more. I do think each and every week as his price drops, the upside becomes more and more immense for a guy who in the best situations was 85 or 9K, depending on the site you're on. So to Kenny's point, I think depending on what sort of lineup I'm constructing, where I'm playing it, I there's gigantic upside. Millionaire makers, big field tournaments, you have to like Johnson. I think he'll be owned, though. I don't think you're going to get him at single digits in some of those tournaments just simply because of the price point dropping and people still believing in his upside. But it'll be intriguing to see. I think that's something to track this week. Let's continue on here where we do have Seattle and Arizona as our next game up. You mentioned Doug Baldwin as well. I don't trust anything about this offense for Seattle, but Arizona's defense has not been that great. They are 0-3. Seattle's 1-2. Sort of a desperation game for both teams here. If Seattle drops to 1-3, it looks like my over-under on the season looks better and better. Get to 2-2 all of a sudden with San Francisco and their injuries. You have some room to play here for the Seahawks when the division comes into question. What is this game to you? Is it one to ignore? Do you have pieces outside of David Johnson that you like? How's this game break down for you?
I mean, it's hard to like anything in Arizona. I mean, it just is. There's not much there. I mean, and we knew this going into the season. There weren't many weapons there. It was pretty much David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald and prayers. Hope and prayers. And now Fitzgerald's banged up. And those prayers aren't being answered, by the way. So, they have some issues here. And like I said, this is not a surprise to me. It's not in the least. I think this is our complete rebuilding year. This is why I was surprised Fitzgerald came back. To play with a rookie, Bradford and a rookie quarterback in a year, they're not going anywhere. All right, so Fitzgerald's got the hamstring injury anyway. So I think he plays, but once again, how much damage he's going to do. This is a situation where if he was a running back and was Fitzgerald, you probably have to start him. Wide receiver, I don't think you do. I assume you have a pretty deep, most teams have a decent depth at wide receiver. I think you can probably find something better here. I'm probably willing to sit Fitzgerald here, depending on what else you have here. Baldwin, he's a little opposite here. I'm probably starting him. He's not going to see a whole lot of Patrick Peterson. He's more of a slot guy. So I don't think they'll move Peterson inside there, so that keeps him away. I'm sure I'll see him at some points, but not the entire game here. So I'm okay with Baldwin. I'm not starting where I drafted him. You may have drafted him as a wide receiver one. I think he's a wide receiver three this week.
Yep.
Which means, you might have better options on your team. You could have a strong wide receiver core. But if I had to choose between Baldwin and Fitzgerald, I choose Baldwin.
Makes sense to me. I don't want to honestly spend too much time on this game as I think it might be an ugly one, but there are some pieces here that have some upside from a DFS perspective. Let's move on light to a game I love this week, and I think a lot of people do, San Francisco and the Chargers. I love Phillip Rivers here. Keenan Allen's injury obviously is a concern, but to start the week, I was on Mike Williams to begin with. I love, and it's terrible to say, don't love anyone being injured, but if Keenan Allen is limited but out there, I love Mike Williams even more. And I think this is a gigantic upside game for Rivers and some of these offensive pieces from the Chargers. If we hear Breida is completely healthy, I love him this week as well. With Beathard in there, I think that they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And I think you'll see Breida as the main running back in this matchup. What do you got here, George? Is this one that's on your radar, or do you feel as though there are reasons to ignore this contest?
I mean, Breida and Morris are both banged up. All right. We expect the Chargers to score a lot of points. Yes, they're going to have to throw the ball. So they may not be all, Morris may not be valuable at all. And maybe Breida, I'd start Breida over Morris because I expect maybe, assuming he plays, to catch balls out of the backfield. The problem, as I mentioned, I think both are going to play, but they are both banged up. Always a chance for a late inactive, and we won't know by 1 o'clock for these two guys. This is a late game, so we're not going to know till 2:30 whether or not either one or both is going to play. So there is some gamble here. Keep that in mind as far as that's concerned. But with Beathard, Beathard in there, I mean, it's a terrible name, right? Beathard. I'm looking now, by the way, Breida is a game-time decision. That's a problem. I'm probably not going to, unless you have another 4 o'clock running back, assume you can make changes late, or somebody in the night games, I'm probably not going to go that direction. I'm probably going to, I don't take chances on zeros. Not with a guy who I don't think is a fantastic play anyway. I'm not starting Garcon. I'm not starting Goodwin. I'm going to need to see something. Kittle is still certainly in play for me as a tight end one. I'm on the Chargers here. You know, I'm starting all of them. Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, obviously. I think the only guy who I have question marks about would be Antonio Gates. He's that borderline guy for me. It depends on who your other tight end is.
Makes sense to me. I think this is a game that I may have more of than I should when it comes to Daily Fantasy, but obviously we'll have some pivots there if I need to. Oh, man, good song, Sean. This is, you're good on the ones and twos. We'll come back with more final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Trafford, George Kurtz, find us on Twitter at Dan Trafford, at George Kurtz, and of course, ask your questions at FNTSY Radio. More Fantasy Sports Day after this. Stay tuned.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Do-si-do, George. Do-si-do. But time to close out week number two. Week number four. See what happens when country music plays. I get all out of sorts. We go to week four, final game of the ones and fours. It is a big one. One that I think will be heavily owned in DFS and one that may be worthwhile in tournaments to stay away from. It is a road game, as you mentioned, for Drew Brees before. You do have the Giants and the Saints here. A big potential matchup for Michael Thomas. You have Odell Beckham Jr. on the other side. Maybe Eli gets something going this week to show he's not a walking corpse back there for the New York Football Giants. I have a lot right now of this game, but I'm slowly pivoting away in a couple of tournament lineups. We'll talk DFS a little bit as this segment ends, but where do you see the points here? Do you see a shootout, or do you see this maybe coming under on the over-under of 52, a spread of -4.5, the Saints' favorite on the road?
I think it's going to be a point scored in the game here. I mean, you think about it from both sides here. Eli Manning had a nice game last week against Houston, right? Nice, solid game. They figured out how to move the ball on offense. Now, granted, no Engram. But I think that means Shepard's going to be a big part of this, or a bigger part. He's the guy you're going to want to get in your lineup. Obviously, you're playing Beckham, you're playing Barkley. Eli's another guy. Could be a streaming quarterback this week, but I think you'll have other options there that you'll go with. But I think he'd be a solid streamer. I expect points to be put up on the board here. New Orleans hasn't been able to stop anybody all year long. When you look at it from the Saints, I mentioned Deshaun Watson. 385 yards against this team. Brees a little bit better. Just a wee bit better. Giants banged up on defense. Just a tiny bit. A little bit. You know, smidge. No Olivier Vernon, he's out again, so their best pass rusher's gone. Eli Apple, number two cornerback, gone. This should be a game with points put up on the board for New Orleans. I mean, it would be anyway. The Giants are banked up on defense. This has all the makings of another. Maybe the Giants break that streak where they haven't scored more than 30 points in a game in like since 2015, I believe it is. This could be that game where they do that and still lose. You know, 41-31, that wouldn't shock me, somewhere around there. I'm taking the over, and I'll take the Saints.
So this is a game that has some intriguing pieces to me outside of the top tier. You do have Russell Shepard stepping in as the Giants' number three. And this is DFS. I'm not talking season long. Russell Shepard stepping in as wide receiver number three. He's getting some buzz. I would stay away. This Giants offense doesn't really use the third wide receiver. Now, then people will point to Evan Ingram being out and thus, oh, it's got to be the third wide receiver. I really love Sterling Shepard in this matchup. I think this is the week that we get a ton of targets for Shepard, has the upside, and at a price point of $4,900 on DraftKings, he's finding his way into a lot of my lineups. So I love Shepard as maybe the one-off from this game if you're not stacking it. Even if you are stacking it with the Saints side of the ball, I love coming back with Shepard on the other side to really get all the pieces together and make it work. Obviously, Beckham has gigantic upside too, but I do think this is a big week for Sterling Shepard. We'll transition here quickly, George, talk a little DFS as we did close out week four, the ones and fours at 4 o'clocks. What do you got? Who's the quarterbacks on tap for you as you make your player pool and you look at some lineup construction? Who are some of your favorites here for week four?
Now, generally, when I make my DFS lineup, my main one, like I said, most of us are going to play in a whole bunch, but whenever I talk about my DFS lineup, it's always my main lineup. I'm always looking for the quarterback generally, unless there's a matchup I just can't pass up. The cheapest quarterback that I can live with. Right, that's how I look at it. Because I want to get a strong quarterback, but I want to make sure I can save as much money as possible for wide receivers and running backs. All right, so, I mean, I'm not going to pay up for an Aaron Rodgers who's 68. I'm looking at DraftKings. 6,800 for Rodgers, 6,600 for Breeze. We mentioned a whole bunch of quarterbacks that we could think of starting this week who are going to be cheaper. You know, so I'm going to go in that direction. Man, I do like, if I was going to pay, I love Rivers at 6,500. I think he's going to light up the San Fran secondary. I don't expect much to be there. Eli Manning just talked about he's 5,600. You know, but I went with Andy Dalton. You know, 5,400. I like what he's doing. What he can do against Atlanta. I will, if AJ Green happens to be out, I would change this. Yeah, but I like what he's going there. I've also gone in another lineup, just a really, I don't want to call it a contrarian lineup, but a lineup where I've just gone completely cheap. Trubisky at 5,200. I've gone there too in a couple of lineups, see what could happen there. But I like Dalton to save some money, 5,400.
Dalton has struggled in higher over-under games, and this is not predictive, but just interesting to watch when he has the sort of upside alley in a game. He does tend to not show up. That doesn't mean it's predictive for this week. I do like Dalton's matchup, and I do think he's shown some upside this week. I have Phillip Rivers. I have Drew Brees in two lineup constructions. My cheap quarterback, I do agree that you can get down to Dalton or Trubisky. I have Ryan Tannehill in one lineup construction with Kenny Stills paired in that matchup against the Patriots. I just think that you're going to see a lot of targets for Stills and maybe have some upside here if it does become more of a shootout than predicted earlier in the show. I like Tannehill to give me low ownership and some high ownership, high points at quarterback. And listen, quarterback is much like starting pitching in DFS. You're going to have spread out ownership in GPPs, in tournaments. You're going to have, you know, between 10 and 50% on the top guys, and then you're going to get into the single digits pretty quickly simply because it does get spread out, as George was saying. Lots of people do take sort of the late round QB approach to DFS. So don't get too hung up on ownership when it comes to quarterbacks. Running backs, Kamara, obviously in a great spot. I like Melvin Gordon from an expensive point of view. I think that you have tons of options at running back across the top end. We did talk about David Johnson. I think Jordan Howard's in a fine spot. And then you get into some of the cheap questions. You have Sony Michel has clear upside with more of a path to targets in early down situations and handoffs. And I like Aaron Jones this week. I'm going to trust that Aaron Rodgers knows what he's talking about. And at 4,100, I like the cheap aspect and maybe some major upside here against Buffalo. Who are some of your running backs this week, George?
Yeah, you named some of mine. Aaron Jones, another guy, is on my radar as well. Cheap, 4,100. There is some worry there, of course, with Jamal Williams that Mike McCarthy may not make that switch right away. As far as running backs, you didn't mention Tevin Coleman. What's going to get another start there in that Cincinnati-Atlanta game. 5,900. That's nice. Kamara is $1,300 more than any other running back. I mean, damn. I'd love to get him in there, but it's not going to happen too all that often. As far as expensive running backs, listen, I like Saquon Barkley. I do expect the Giants to try and play keep away, keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
That's an intriguing one, whether or not they do try to run it more effectively. Always intriguing to see how offenses decide to go about that. You see more and more air raid offenses, such as you have there in L.A., the Rams doing a great job. So maybe over time, the Giants split Barkley out wide more often and try to get through the air. But you probably will see more runs this week trying to bleed the clock a little bit and keep Drew Brees off the field. Wide receivers. Tons of options here, obviously. A deep player pool. Some of the names I'm on, obviously, from an expensive perspective, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr. As I get into the mid-tier and lower tier, Mike Williams, Sterling Shepard, I mentioned before. I really love Sterling Shepard. I'm going to say that a bunch of times. And Taylor Gabriel is another name that I'm on for the Bears as somebody who has started to see his target share increase. Obviously, from week one to week three, went from 5 to 7 to 10 targets. And I think a TD is coming maybe this week. So Gabriel down there at 3,900, I think, has some home run potential in your tournament lineups. Who do you got here at wide receiver, George?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Devontae Adams, 7,800. I like Shepard. I'm all over, by the way, but everybody's all over Shepard. Will Fuller, I talked about him earlier, 6,800. He's somebody I'm going to have. He's someone I will have in my lineup. I like what he can do this week. Kenny Galladay, another somebody else we talked about. I like him. You said Allen Robinson. I'm there with you, too. Wide receiver is always deep. It's always deep. There's always guys out there you can take. Tyler Lockett, but he's going to see some of Patrick Peterson, but I think they'll take some deep shots there. If Cobb is out, I mean, I like Geronimo Allison more than most anyway, but he's someone else I'll take. Tyler Boyd is only 4,600. I think he gets some play this week. Like I said, it's wide receivers. You can find a wide receiver. Mike Williams at 4,500. In my mind, that's incredibly low.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and I think you have some lineup constructions that really can get you up to the Kamaras and Michael Thomas's, Odell Beckham's, with some of these cheaper options like Mike Williams, Taylor Gabriel. If you go like an Austin Hooper at tight end at 2,900, I think there's gigantic upside. I know you mentioned a couple of tight ends earlier when we're going game by game. Anybody stand off the page as somebody that you're going to lock in or at least have multiple shares of?
No. No, actually, nobody does stand out here. You know, we haven't seen a lot. Gronk is obviously, we have problems there with the Patriots offense. Ertz, slow start. Maybe because Wentz was out. Jimmy Graham's banged up. George Kittle, now you got no Garoppolo here. So I'm not paying for a high-end option this week in most leagues. I mean, I'll have a share of Gronk somewhere, but not in most leagues. Jared Cook is someone I talked about him earlier, 4,100. I'll take a look at him. Eric Ebron, 3,600. I'll take a look at him. Tyler Eifert finally showed up last week, and I do like this matchup against Atlanta. I'm liking a lot of the Cincinnati players. So at 3,800, I might have a share or two of him. O.J. Howard could be in there as well at 3,500. But I'm not loving anyone. I think if I had 10 lineups, you'd probably see me have 8 different tight ends.
Yep, I think that's more than reasonable here as lineup construction comes to pass. I have Austin Hooper, I have Trey Burton, and I have Ben Watson currently in one lineup. So that shows you where I'm spread out on my tight ends and not really. I do think Gronkowski could have a huge week. That is a blanket statement that if Sean wants to cut and just play back every week, I think it's more than reasonable here. But I just don't know the price point at 7K with the questionable tag. With the struggle to start the year, I'm comfortable paying up for him at tight end when I want to pay up for other positions. Obviously, from a roster construction perspective and maybe a little bit of a contrarian play, paying up at tight end, paying down at wide receiver, paying down at running back, and paying up at quarterback is going to differentiate you a little bit. But I don't know that it's necessary to construct the lineup that way. I do find it pretty intriguing looking over at our second poll, George. You were pretty quick, and I agreed with you, to go the under on Michael Thomas. 63%, 41 votes, not a large sample, but large enough. 63% calling for the over for receptions for Michael Thomas against the Giants.
Good luck. And yes, and I got Thomas in a couple leagues. I hope you're right, but that's a lot. I mean, you're talking, that's 10 catches. That's 10 catches, folks. I mean, just do the math. That's 160 for a year. That's a lot. You know, I think the percentage-wise says he's not gonna get that. So that's why I'm taking the under there. It has nothing to do with Michael Thomas. I think he's a great, fantastic, great player here. But I'll take the under of that.
All right, let's close out the show talking some of these lines. We have some intriguing individual team totals. We have some good over-unders and some spreads worth touching on. In the two games that we didn't talk game by game, want to get your take here, though, before we leave. Baltimore and the Steelers, an over-under live at 50 right now, George. And you made mention before, and I made this point about the Ravens' offense over the past couple of games. Steelers, obviously, with Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. Roethlisberger can score points in bunches, throwing Connors there as well. But 50 really feels like a high total here for these two teams. Are you going on history and tradition of this matchup? Are you going on near-term results and pushing this as an over, or do you see it as an under where Vegas just doesn't get the matchup as well as they're looking at near-term results?
I always, whenever we see a game where we think one thing and Vegas thinks of the other, always wonder what they know. You know, they're not making mistakes. They're not guessing here. They know something. So that always scares me a little bit. You know, a little twinge of what's going on here. So I just think the history between these two teams say that it's not going to be a high-scoring game. So I see where they're coming from. And I kind of agree with that.
We have lots to nibble on there. I think there, as this game comes Sunday night, it'll be interesting to see if the line moves anymore as the line opened has, let's see, it was 27.25. So both teams' totals have dropped, and the implied over-under has dropped 1 point. Don't know if we're going to see a ton more movement than that heading into Sunday night, obviously, bar any injuries or anything that is shocking in lineup announcements heading into Sunday night football. But I do think this goes under. I do think that this is a game that becomes more of a rock fight. I don't know if that's one of my favorite on the week. The next game, Monday Night Football, should be a good one from an offensive perspective, maybe not so much from a defensive one. You do have a 25.25 implied total for the Broncos, 29.75 for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are on the road. Mahomes has already done it on the road. He's shown that he doesn't really have problems throwing touchdowns in any venue. Now you talk about Mile High, you talk about the altitude. Could that play a factor here? Sure. I don't know that we'll know the answer to that until we watch them play and watch Mahomes play Monday night. But -4.5 in favor of Kansas City, a 55 over under. We saw on Thursday night that that game, I think, went over in the first half, if I remember correctly, or right near the first half. Do you like the over here at 55, or is that one pushing sort of how far you're comfortable going in an NFL game with the over under?
It smells like a high-scoring game, right? I mean, it does smell like a high-scoring game. We know KC can't stop anybody. They can score points seemingly by whenever they want. Denver's got a good but not great defense. It's in Denver. You would think they'd be, once again, Mahomes. First start, Monday Night Football. In Denver, not the easiest place to play. But what's a bad game for Mahomes? 24 points? 27? I mean, we assume they're going to score at least that. You know, that's a bad game. You know, so if he gets a good game, you're not even going to the 30s again here. Keenum, I think that's where I'm more worried about. What can he's done very little since week one. He had a nice week one against Seattle. I don't think he's thrown a touchdown pass since. So that's a problem. He got Demaryius Thomas. You got Emmanuel Sanders. We assume they can throw the ball, I don't want to say at will against KC, but pretty much almost at will. Boy, I'm going to go the over. You know, I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair here. I'm more worried about Keenum than I am about Mahomes. I'm not in love with Keenum. Whenever I think of Keenum, I always think of, man, Minnesota made no attempt to re-sign this guy. He brought you to, you know, almost a Super Bowl, yet you've made no attempt to re-sign him. None. You know, goodbye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. So that bothers me. I don't trust the quarterback. I don't trust him at all. So I'll still go over here, but there's a lot of trepidations here that with Keenum.
So in his career in the NFL, Andy Reid's used running backs a ton. Do you see a change here? Do you see this finally as a philosophy change and that the air raid offense and trusting Mahomes to carry this team and thus, you know, almost limiting the upside of any running backs in the Kansas City backfield is a legitimate concern moving forward?
I think what I'm worried about most with Kareem Hunt is they're not using him in the passing game, which is kind of ironic. Yep. Right, for all the points they're being put up on, they're not using him in the passing game, and that's concerning more than anything else to me. What's going on here? Why not? So that's when I think of, when I think of Kansas City and Hunt, I know he's not having a great season. I know people are ticked off, but why aren't they using him in the passing game?
It's a pretty amazing, and one we'll have to keep track of. Don't forget, head on over to DailyRoto.com, industry-leading daily fantasy site that has produced seven separate FanDuel and DraftKings Millionaire Dollar Tournament winners and millions more in smaller prizes for countless subscribers. Go to DailyRoto.com, enter FNTSY for a special discount. DailyRoto.com, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. A great show from George. Find him all weekend long here on FNTSY Radio. College Football Today is coming up next. As always, you find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, at Dan Stravert, at George Kurtz. The phone number, 844-843-6879. We'll be back with you next week for week number 5 as we get ready for fantasy football. Enjoy your Saturday. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. And we'll check you back here on Fantasy Sports Day next.